of Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And in verse 31 and 32, we began a series on two Sundays ago, I believe. And it's titled The Importance of Praying for Each Other. You know, in this world, everyone around us, we're all going through one situation or the other. And the Bible encourages us to lift up each other in prayer. The Word of God encourages us to support one another. The Bible says we should be one another's body. And we know that praying for fellow believers, praying for people, your family, your friends, your colleagues, everyone you see, it's important to God. Amen. And we've looked at several things. I don't want to repeat all the things that we've gone through, but we say our prayers have power. They produce results. They produce results. So we see here our Lord Jesus says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Amen. That he may sift you as wheat. And we've recognized that in this world, we have an enemy. We have an adversary, and he is the devil. And what he wants to do is to destroy people. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Bible also lets us know, it says, your adversary, the devil, is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And so our Lord Jesus here, he says, Simon, Satan has been trying to get you, to sift you. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so he says that he may sift you as wheat. And another translation will say that you may give up. See, the enemy wants us to give up. If you're a Christian, he wants you to give up your faith. He wants you to give up and say, well, it's not worth it. But I tell you, it is worth it. Amen. Because in Christ Jesus, we win. So verse 32, look at Jesus. What is his response to the fact that the enemy was coming after Peter? His response was to pray for him. Say, but I have prayed for you. So the first thing Jesus did when he recognized that Peter was in trouble or Peter was going to be attacked by the enemy, his initial, the first response is to do what? Is to pray. You know, many times when people are going through things or whatever the situation we're going through, sometimes prayer is the last thing we do, isn't it? And not just the person who's going through it, but we, because this is not what, he wasn't going through this, it wasn't Jesus. Jesus was praying for Peter. And we've said that praying for people is an act of love. You are displaying love and care. Last Friday we talked about the duty of care. Jesus took it as his responsibility, his duty to watch out for the welfare of Peter. So we need to be looking out for each other's welfare, well-being. When we see that someone is going through a situation, you know, someone says, well, I wish I had money, I could have given them. But you have something. What do you have? You can pray. You can pray. You have access to God, access to the throne of God. You remember Peter and John when they met the man who was lame at the gate beautiful? The man was asking them for alms. And Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. Everyone can pray. Children can pray for their parents. You know, siblings can pray for each other. You know, church members can pray for each other. The Bible says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He lets us know that our prayers produce power. Our prayers have results. They can produce results. So if I know that my prayer is so important, so efficient, and so powerful, then I will pray more, isn't it? I will use it more. Remember when Peter was put in prison, Book of Acts chapter 12, they arrested Peter and they put him in prison. That's Herod. And what Herod had found out that prior to that, some believers had been put in prison. That was who?
James.
He killed James. I'm talking about the ones that were released. That's Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas had been put in jail. And then suddenly what happened? He said, at midnight hour, as they prayed and as they sang praises to God, the prison doors opened. And so Herod wanted to make sure that Peter would not be able to escape prison. You know what he did to him? He put four soldiers with him. And they were running shifts. It's in Acts chapter 12, you can read it. So they were running shifts. So the two soldiers were chained to him. And two were watching at the door. Oh, you're looking at me as if that's very strange. It's in Acts chapter 12. When you get home, you read it. So he had four. They were running shifts. And so four will finish, and then they will go. What is he trying to make sure? That Peter will not be able to escape like Paul and Silas. And so they were chained to him, two, and then two were at the door. Now, the Bible says the believers prayed. When the believers prayed, an angel came at night and loosed the chains. And he got up from the midst of the people he was chained to and the people at the door, and he came out. Does prayer work? Oh, yes. The Bible says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, produces tremendous power, and it's dynamic in its working. Amen. And so Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You will not fail, Peter. No matter what the enemy brings against you, you will not fail. Why? Because I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers and your sisters. That is, Jesus believes that his prayer will be answered. And Peter will now be in a situation where he can also pray for other people and strengthen other people. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to conclude this teaching tonight. That was just a summary of some of the things we've discussed. But on Sunday, I gave us some guidelines on how to pray effectively, how to pray. You know, and this is very simple guideline. The first thing is, I want to ask the question, who do we pray to? We pray to God the Father. When you're praying, you are praying to the Father. And in the name of
Jesus.
Now, this is important. This is very important. In the New Testament prayer, you are praying to God the Father, and you are praying in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the authority that gives access to the throne of God. And we read that on Sunday as well. Let's go to John chapter 16. John 16, 23. Jesus said, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Why would he say they will ask him nothing? See, before Jesus left, they were everything they needed. What would they do? They will ask him. You see, so Jesus, they had to ask him. But now Jesus is leaving. He's not going to be here with them. It says, in that day, that is when I have left, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So our access to the Father is Jesus Christ. We are not coming in our stead. You know, sometimes some people say, oh, well, I've done some terrible things. I really didn't act right today. Maybe God will not hear me. God is not hearing you because of you. He's hearing you because of Jesus. So if you go without the name of Jesus, you're trying to grow in your own strength, in your own power, in your own ability, which doesn't cut with God. Hallelujah. And so we go, he said, you will ask, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do what? He will give you. So that's the first thing. We ask in the name of Jesus. And then we went on to talk about these six things. Number one was that we say we should be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to people's conditions, the situations. People around you, whether it's your family, your parents, your children, your grandparents, members in church, we need to be sensitive to their need. We need to be sensitive to their highs and their lows, and be sensitive to their challenges. Because Jesus, Peter didn't tell him that the devil was after him. And Peter didn't go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, pray for me. It was Jesus, because of his love and sensitivity towards Paul, Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, and I have prayed for you. So let's be sensitive to people's need. Let's be aware of what's going on around us. Because in the world today, we are so focused on ourselves. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't concern yourself about yourself, but guess what? Many times, your deliverance is in looking out for others. When you face other people's issues, God will deal with yours. Amen. You know, the Bible says that God restored Job after what? After he prayed for his friends. After he prayed for them, God restored him. How about Joseph? Joseph was in prison, and he was sensitive to the butler and the baker, Pharaoh's butler and baker. Can you imagine? He is in prison. He should have been more concerned about himself, isn't it? How am I going to get out of this prison? How am I going to see my father again? How am I going to see my brothers again? How am I going to see my family again? But you know what happened? In the morning, the butler and the baker had dreamt overnight. In the morning, Joseph noticed that they were sad. Wow. Do you notice anybody that is not feeling too well around you? But you know, even in church, we come to church, we just walk in, we worship, and we go home, and we don't notice anybody. So the first thing in being able to pray for people with love is to be sensitive. Amen. And also, we don't have to wait till an emergency has happened before we pray. That's the second one. You pray ahead. You pray ahead. Don't wait till something has happened before we pray. Of course we pray when people have issues and when they have needs, but you're praying ahead. You're praying for people to be well. You're praying for their jobs. You're praying for their studies. Praying for their health. Praying for different things. There are many good things you can pray for people about without it happening to them. You want to avert the danger. We don't wait until something happens to somebody and then we come to church and say, oh, brothers, you know, so-and-so person is going through this. Let us pray for them. Hallelujah. Because Jesus prayed ahead, didn't he? He said he has tried to have you. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pray for you. He said what? I have prayed for you already. I prayed already before he informed him, before the situation ever happened. So that's the second thing. The third thing is you have to be specific. When you're praying, you be specific. You say exactly. You see, prayer is not complicated. Prayer is not complex. You know, you're talking to your Father. Amen. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father is the Father. So when you're talking to your Father, it's different from when you're talking to your neighbor's father, the one who is not yours, you know, because there's a different way you're going to ask your neighbor for things, or you ask your own father, your good father. So you be specific. Jesus said, I've prayed for you. What did he pray for him? That your faith will not fail. So we know what he prayed for. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing is what? Simplicity. You've got to be very, you know, keep it simple. Don't complicate your prayer. If you're praying for somebody to be well, you say, Father, I come in the name of Jesus and I pray for my brother. You mention the name, that you will be restored. He'll be restored to good health, to perfect wholeness. Everything you wish for them. You know, what did the third John say? He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's specific, isn't it? This is very specific. You can tell what people are praying for. You can tell what Jesus prayed for. Hallelujah. So be simplicity. Be simple. And then pray what? In faith. Pray in faith. Hallelujah. You're praying, believing that your prayer has been heard and is answered. Amen. Amen. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have. That we, when we pray, according to his will, He hears us. No, remember, don't forget that word confidence. That's faith. We have confidence that when we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have all the things that we ask him of. Amen. And the last one was to give thanks, thanksgiving. We are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 5 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You see, prayer removes anxiety. People who pray do not panic. You see, if you're really praying to the Father and you believe that he will answer you, when you go to him, you don't worry. So he says, instead of worrying, why would he say be anxious for nothing? Worry for nothing. Be fearful for nothing. Because most times we go about worrying. We go about worrying. How many people worry? Don't put your hand up. But we do worry. But the Bible says, do not worry about anything. Wow. If the Bible says it, we can do it. See, it's not that worry will not come. Things that will make you worry or fear or anxious, they will come. But you will choose not to worry. And I like the Word of God because it's not just telling you what not to do. It's telling you what you should do instead. You see, because worry will not solve the problem. In fact, worry will aggravate the situation. You see, whatever situation you have externally, whether it's finance, whether it's other things, whether it's worry about your job, your life, your future, your children, your parents, all the worry, all those things are external. When you worry, you internalize it. You bring them on the inside and they begin to affect you mentally, physically, emotionally. That's why God says you shouldn't worry. The reason is because he knows it is not good for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you see. With thanksgiving. There has to be thanksgiving. See, prayer and thanksgiving go together. It's like if prayer is the engine, thanksgiving is the oil that keeps it flowing. Amen. So thanksgiving, say with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Hallelujah. And it says the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. See, when we pray, peace is God's answer. When you pray, what you are looking for, the answer you're looking for is peace. Because once peace is present, it's only a matter of time for that situation to be resolved. So when you are asking God and praying to God, what you are waiting for is what? Peace. To be at rest. Be at peace. So thanksgiving is what we are looking at tonight because thanksgiving is so important. It's so vital to our prayer life, to praying for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, you see. That's the first thing we do. You know, I really want to emphasize this point that even if you're going to do something about that thing, pray first. But do you know what we do first? That thing that we want to do first, you see, so we act first rather than pray first. But the Bible is right. It's telling you that your prayer is what will make it go well. It will make it go smoothly. Your prayer will go ahead of you. It will precede you. And we've looked at how to pray now. We've seen that prayer is not hard. It's not difficult, praise God. Everyone can pray the way we've just highlighted it now. Just keep it simple. It's a prayer for all people. So not just for yourself. For all people. Do you know, if someone's name drops in your spirit, you know, many times it comes, you know, as a pastor, maybe someone's name comes in my spirit and I'm thinking, should I call them? The first thing is, oh, maybe I should call them. Maybe I should email them or text them and encourage them. Yes, I do that too. But the first thing I do now is what? I just pray for them. That's the first thing I do, to pray for them. And the reason I do that, not because I'm so smart, but because the Bible says it. Say, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and do what? And give thanks for them. So most times what you're really doing for people is not even asking anything. You're just giving thanks. You're just giving thanks. Father, I thank you for Larice, that she's able to make it to church today. That she's alive and well. That you're keeping her, that you're guiding her. You just keep giving thanks. And that could be all. Just give thanks. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So you're giving thanks on behalf of people. Let's look at it in the Amplified Translation. Amplified Translation says, first of all, then, I urge the petitions, the specific requests, prayers, intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all people. Parents should be giving thanks for their children. Children should be giving thanks for their parents. You know, if we were to do this more at home, we will fight less. Amen. Because they're saying, you're saying to your brother, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, your sister, you did. You know, we're all arguing and fighting. What if you woke up in the morning and said, thank God? You know, you heard the voice of your brother. Say, thank God, my brother is awake today. You kept him alive throughout the night. You've kept my sister alive throughout the night. You phone your children, maybe they've left home, and you just begin to give thanks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
You give thanks. Say thanks. Give thanks on behalf of all people. It does something to you. It makes you appreciate God more. See, if you're not giving thanks, you are going to be susceptible to complaining and moaning. You will not see the good that is happening. What you'll be seeing is all the negatives. But when you begin to give thanks, you'll be amazed what God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, like I said, sometimes thanksgiving might be the only thing that you will do. And you just finish your prayer. Say, Father, I thank you. And your prayer is clear. And you've prayed well. You know, thanksgiving is good prayer. Ephesians chapter 1. We're seeing all of these places where prayer is linked to thanksgiving. Verse 15 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, 16, I do not cease to do what? To give thanks for you. Can you imagine Apostle Paul? He says, when I heard about your faith, when I heard that your faith is strong and you're loving the saints, the first thing that came to my mind is, Lord, I thank God for the Ephesians. Hallelujah. He said, when I heard, what have you heard about me? What good news have you heard about me? When you heard it, what did you do? Did you give thanks for me? To God for me? What have you heard? You know, maybe somebody comes to you and says, guess what? I got my results today. And I passed. You know, yes, you congratulate the person, but you know what you should do? Say, God, I give thanks. What are you doing? You are acknowledging that it is God who did it. If somebody was unwell for a long time and they came out of hospital and they are now well, and say, the doctors have released me, all the test results are good, what do? You give thanks. Whatever you hear that God has done for people, because thanksgiving allows God to do more for you. What you appreciate will appreciate. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, when I heard, the first thing I do, and he says, I do not cease. Come on now. What does it mean to cease? We don't use that word. To stop. I don't stop. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, many times God has done so many things for us and we've forgotten about them. And because we've forgotten about them, we don't have the faith to believe for the things that we are looking for.
See, because if you remember what he has done before that you've been giving thanks for, it's so easy when something fails, you say, oof, that one that I thank God for yesterday, he did it. If he did that one, he would do another one. So thanksgiving is an act of faith. It stirs up your faith. It helps your faith. Glory to God. And thanksgiving means that you are not taking the credit. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's so easy to take credit for things and say, oh, you know, you did so well in your in those exams. Say, well, I studied very hard. I really studied. People have studied and they failed. Did you know that? Or people wanted to study, but they didn't have the strength to study. Who gave you the life to study? Who gave you the sound mind to be able to understand what you are studying? Amen? So we should give thanks always to God. Amen. He said, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. So many places I talked about thanksgiving. It says, pray without ceasing. That is, don't stop praying. Amen. And it says, give thanks. And you see the link again between prayer and thanksgiving. Say, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is what? The will of God. So if I'm giving thanks, I'm obeying God. Thanksgiving is an act of obedience. See, it is his will. It is his will. You know, many times people say, I want to know God's will. Well, I give you one today. Give thanks. Hallelujah. It is the will of God. Each time prayer is mentioned, thanksgiving is also mentioned. Thanksgiving is so important. It is giving credit and honor to God. It is not being ungrateful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give God thanks. We thank him for our families. We thank him for our lives. We thank him for his goodness. He has kept us through all the year. Amen. He's been good to us. He's put food on our table. He has protected us in our going out and even our coming in. For the little ones, the children went to school. Some little children had to go to nursery to go and meet people that they've never known, they've never seen, and God kept them. Amen. Hallelujah. People went on holiday, they played and did all kinds of activities. No harm came to them. Father, we are grateful. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's lots of things that God has done for us, and we are grateful. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, miracles happen when you give thanks. When you give thanks. Remember Jesus in John chapter 6? When he asked the disciples, that's a very typical thing people do. He asked the disciples, he said, where can we get bread to feed all these people? What did they say? He said, even if you get money that will, you know, a year's wage is not sufficient. What is he thinking? Was that Philip? Philip was thinking, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? See, he's trying to figure out. What the Bible says, Jesus only asked to test him because he already knew what he will do. What is he going to do? What did he do when he had the 5 loaves and 2 fish? He gave thanks. Thanksgiving multiplies. It brings miracles. Thanksgiving is open door to heaven. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks. Let's give thanks. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading a report some it's been a while, and they said that these people were not Christians. They did a study. I think it was a university in America, and they said people who give thanks, who are grateful for that, they are healthier. That they are healthier. That just, if they can just give thanks every day, just be thanking for what they have, he said it will heal their body. It brings healing to their body. Just giving thanks. They were not quoting scripture. It's just a study that they carried out. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give thanks. But not just give thanks for yourself, give thanks for others. For others. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you are here. And I thank God that you could make it this evening. Even in the cold winter, you made it to church. I give God thanks for all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen? Amen. Thank you. It means that God will continue to enable you. He will continue to enable you. He will continue to strengthen you. He will continue to empower you. He will continue to make his grace to flow towards you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Jesus prayed over the bread and he distributed it. Hallelujah. When he came before Lazarus' tomb, let's hear what he said. John 11, verse 41 to 42. Hallelujah. He said, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus did what? Lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you.'" You know, if I wanted to raise the dead, thank you is not what I would first say. Amen. I'm not going to say, "Father, thank you," first. I'm going to begin to figure out the kind of prayer, some specialist prayer. Look at the tomb. "Lord, thou that answereth by fire, let the fire of God." No, keep it simple. Say, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you what? You have heard me." Karabosikanda. Keep it simple. "I thank you that you have heard me." Now look at verse 42. This is powerful. "And I know that" what? "Always, always, always, always hear me." He said, "But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." So because of the people, you know what he said? He said, "Lazarus, come on." But all he would have done was just to say, "Father, I thank you. You've already heard me. God has heard you." I said, "God has heard you." Amen. So all we have to do is to go home and do what? Amen. Give thanks. Amen. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you meet somebody out there, you meet one of ourselves, before we go home, you shake hands. You say, "I thank God for you. I thank God for you." It's a very powerful prayer. Let's close with this. Let's close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Say, "But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Woo! Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks. We give him thanks. He's giving you victory over every situation. Amen. That you're facing right now. Amen. He's giving you victory to live a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of health, and a life of fulfillment. Amen. He's giving you victory to enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. Victory over every plan and the scheme of the enemy. Amen. Notice he says, "Who gives us?" He gives it to us. He gives it. Not just that he gave us. He keeps giving us. He keeps giving us. Continuous. It's continuous. He's giving you victory in your studies, those children who are studying, victory in your relationships, victory in your career, victory in your business, victory. Hallelujah. He's giving us victory for the souls of people in Farnham Common. That many people's hearts will be tender to the gospel all around Farnham Common, Trafford St. Giles, all around us, Hedgley, Kuraba Sakandaraba. So what are we going to do if he's given us victory? Thanks. We give thanks. Let's go ahead and just give God thanks. Go ahead. Say, "Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks. give you thanks. Kura bashakatara bondo rika baba baba la bonde ri baba baba. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Master. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for all of the children. Thank you for every family. Every family. We thank you, Lord God. Rimro zekara baba baba lindi le bonde. Thank you, Lord, for your protection throughout 2023. Oh, just about a month ago, you continue to give us the victory. So we give you thanks. You give you thanks. You who has begun the good work, you continue to perfect it until the day of Jesus. So we are grateful, Lord. Tonight, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for our homes, for our families. We give you thanks for our jobs. We give you thanks for our businesses. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. Parebo zekaya ba 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 ba. Thank you, Lord.